Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, we'll dig our teeth into this schedule here. If you tuned in last night, we appreciate it. That was a fun schedule release show we did with Wade Smith. All up on the podcast, sportsradio610.com. Sean, Rich, Clint Sterner with you on a Thursday. All right, before we get into the schedule, Rich, you had a story about how Utah Jazz fans are bad, awful.
They're the worst.
People.
Forget Philly. Utah, they're the worst. About a decade ago, Derek Fisher, you know, like him or not, Derek Fisher, very accomplished NBA player, was with the Utah Jazz and learned that his very young daughter had a very rare form of eye cancer. And the fear was the cancer would spread to her brain. The best treatment they could find for her was in New York. He had to leave the team, I believe during a playoff series, to fly to New York, got back in time to and arrived at the arena in the middle of the third quarter in a playoff game, entered the game, hit some big shots. They won the game. Hero in Salt Lake City. Fast forward a couple of years later, he's with the Lakers and he comes in for a playoff game and he's at the free throw line and a fan behind the free throw line is holding a hand over one eye. And there are chants of Fisher lied, Fisher sucks. There were actually cancer chants in that building that night.
Fisher lied? Like he lied about his
like
daughter
somehow,
being sick?
Yes. Somehow he lied about that whole situation or maybe lied that he wanted to stay in Salt. He eventually left the Jazz permanently because the best medical care he could find for his daughter, and by the way, she's fine today. She's
right.
Got 50% vision in the inflicted eye, but she's cancer-free, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But he decided that he needed to relocate his family to L.A., and that was like a cardinal sin to Utah fans.
Of course.
So here's Derek Fisher, his daughter with a life-threatening cancer diagnosis, and all they can think about is mocking the cancer diagnosis and trying to get under his skin somehow by referencing his daughter. Real class acts up there.
The Rockets can't beat the Jazz by enough points, for my taste.
Totally agree.
30, 40, just keep pounding them.
Yeah, and there have been a few racist remarks come out of that fan.
This year?
Yes.
Russell Westbrook.
I mean, but I'm talking for years and years, just this year.
Yeah.
There have been some very inappropriate racial remarks come out of those stands as well. They're the worst.
Yep, they are the worst. All right, so, Rich, I enjoyed doing the schedule release show last night with you and Wade. That was a good time. We'll sink our teeth into the schedule here. We'll touch on this Texan schedule from a couple angles as we roll on with the show. But Clint, this is your first crack at a microphone this week. So, I'll ask you the same thing that I asked Rich and Wade last night in the show is just, you look at this 16 game gauntlet for the Texans and what's your big takeaway in looking at it?
Well, I think it's an exciting schedule. It's a hell of a schedule if you're in the media here and cover it, or if you're a Texans fan. I mean, I don't think there's, whether it's primetime games or it's big-time quarterbacks or it's high-profile offenses or, teams that have a lot of question marks that could potentially be really good. There's several things to love about this particular lineup for 16 weeks, and I'm excited about following it, covering it. I think if you look at it from a wins-loss, standpoint, I think it's a – The entire season for me, it hinges on the Jacksonville Jaguar Nick Foles marriage and whether that works, whether he's able to make the big impact, not phase that locker room at all. I think whichever way that relationship goes, it could really, really affect how the Texans are viewed moving forward. I mean, I think it's a schedule where they could very easily be 500. I think it's a schedule where they could be below 500 if Jacksonville is a quality team and makes a good size jump with Foles. So, going to be fun to cover. But if I had to pick it, man, You know, I'm looking at a 500. I'm looking at a 500 schedule here for the Texans.
Well, they're going to have to be a lot better defensively to avoid that.
You bet.
Sure. Well, against this slew of quarterbacks, there's no doubt about it. And for the record, we both gave our predictions last night. And, Rich, I want to go back through yours because yours, I think, compared to what
I think. Oh, I understand.
Clint and I are both 8-8 guys.
I'm ready for the blowback.
Yeah. Well, no, all we did last night was just put a record out there. The part I was most curious about yours that we can go through, because I think it's an interesting prediction, is that, like most of us, you see the first seven games being a bit of a struggle.
There's no doubt.
But unlike the rest of us, or most of us, I know the Mad Radio guys had 7-9, 8-8, stuff like that. You have them going on a tear in the second half of the season.
I
at
do,
8-1.
Much like last year. They were 9-0 last year. I have them going on a big-time second-half tear. And again, a reminder, it's April. We haven't even gotten to the draft. We don't know who's healthy or not. I mean, this is as preliminary as it gets. But yes, I mean, when Sean asked me the question he just asked you last night, I mean, you open up with Breeze and then you get a Super Bowl MVP in Foles. And then it really gets serious with Rivers, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, and Andrew Luck in consecutive games. That's incredible. So I said the Texans will come out of that seven-game stretch at 3-4. And I think I got
your... Which would be a win, in my opinion.
It would be. It would be. And I think I got your attention when I said that after the 3-4 start, I think they can beat the Raiders here in Houston.
Yep.
I think they can beat the Jags in London.
Of course.
I think they can go to Baltimore and beat Lamar Jackson.
I think they can.
Thursday night at home against the Colts, winnable game. Brady coming in week 13, that's a loss for me.
That's the one loss.
In April.
Okay.
Yes. And then the last four games are not a particularly challenging stretch.
Yeah.
I'm not dogging the Titans. They went 9-7 last year. I expect the Texans to be much better than them in 2019. But home for the Broncos, the home and away with the Titans, and then at Tampa Bay against Jameis. So, yeah, that adds up to winning 8 of their last 9 and 11-5 for me. I know it's overly optimistic, but I think it's possible.
No, it's very possible. Here's what I would question in your rundown there. Not question, but point out is it takes a hell of a football team that has high expectations to overcome a 3-4 start. And so that's where – now, whether they're 3-4 or not, but that adversity, whenever it comes throughout the season, whether it's right at the beginning or whether it's at 3-4 or it's at, 1-3 or, whatever it may be, that we saw what adversity did last year to Jacksonville. High expectations with Jacksonville. They struggle on offense. Obviously, they lose a few games they shouldn't have lost, and all of a sudden they implode. And so, that's the concern. Is it very well could play out like you mentioned?
But they were 0-3 last year and finished 12-5.
Right.
That's part of why I feel the way I feel.
No question, and I agree 100% with you. And I would think that this team. With the locker room that they currently have, along with the fact that they did exactly what you just mentioned, they overcame an 0-3 start last year, would be fine. But that would speak volumes if they start out 3-4 and then on the flip side of it are able to go on a run again this year like they did last year.
Here's what I would say about this schedule, particularly to you, Rich, because of 11-5. And I get it, it's April and these things can change, all that stuff. But it's... we're doing a talk show, so we're going to talk about the schedule.
What we do, baby, is what we do.
So this is what I would say about anybody who's looking at this schedule thinking that the Texans can win double-digit games, and I'm not saying they can't, but this most years where the Texans have been good, they've won double digits three times in their entire existence. If you go back and look at the schedules of the years where they won double-digit games, the schedule was dotted with easy games. This whole thing about them not playing well against marquee quarterbacks is not just an O'Brien era thing. It goes back to the Kubiak era. So I think if you go back and look in the years where they went 10-6 and 12-4 and last year going 11-5, they had a really fortuitous slew of quarterbacks that they played. Nick Foles was probably the third best quarterback that they played last year. And I guess to put this kind of in the language I like to speak, There were five games last year, I went and looked, where the Texans were 6.5-point favorites or greater. Some they were 7, 7.5, they were even 10-point favorites against the Bills and needed a pick six to beat them in the last minute. So I'm having a hard time finding a game where they're going to be a 6.5-point favorite on this schedule. I don't think it exists right now.
So check this out, Sean. I'm going to spin off of what you just said. With all those quarterbacks mentioned, along with the spreads and their tighter games, what's more important, left tackle or corner?
Hmm. going against
with 2019 schedule, and the quarterback's coming to town, the offense is coming to town. Because hell, look,
in 2019, it's corner. Big picture, it's left tackle.
You bet. I know. I agree 100%. You got to have both of them, obviously. Well, but yeah. if I'm picking one, when we talked last week, I think I said corner initially, kind of just because you asked me the question off the cuff.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna flip to tackle. But with what you just said, a corner would go a long way in 2019. Because one of the wins that we're giving them is the Raiders, and AB's coming to town.
Yeah,
a corner would go a long way now.
And if you're looking for that spread, I think the most likely would be at home late. If the Broncos and Titans are who we think they are, those are the two games where the Texans could have that sort of point spread.
I totally agree with that. I'm just saying right now, like if they if they power rank the teams right now, the Texans are not a 6-point favorite against the Titans or the Broncos.
Right.
But I agree with you. And there's so much nuance that goes with December football because one or both of those teams might be out of it, you know, things like that. So that could affect things. Hopefully the Texans aren't out of it at that point. It's affecting things. I guess, Clint, just my devil's advocate counterpoint to what you're saying and Rich is saying about cornerback is they're going to be in a ton of shootouts.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be in a ton of shootouts, and I know that a rookie cornerback is probably not going to be the difference between me giving up 31 points and 24 points in a game, should I not make sure, absolutely sure, that my franchise quarterback is protected against this schedule? Because as much as we need a corner to go shut down this guy or that guy, the defense probably still has even more holes in it than that, and we need to make sure that we have the guy that can be the trigger guy in these 35 to 31 type of games.
Sure, yeah, no, I mean, I think it's 6-1 way, half a dozen another. Yeah. I think you obviously there's a extreme need at both of those positions, Sean. But I'll go back to this. I'll counter your point with, remember when we're talking about corners, I'm not talking if we think, I don't care if it's a first rounder, man. Short of going and getting a guy like Peterson or off the top of my head, there may be two or three in the league right now that you're gonna go sign or trade or whatever you want to do. If you get those guys, let's just take a name out of a hat, Peterson, and let's say you can make it happen. That's the only way you're talking about when you say bring a guy in to cover T.Y. Hilton or bring a guy in to cover AB.
Antonio Brown or Julio Jones.
When you talk about bringing a guy in to cover that guy, it better be a proven all-pro,
right,
damn near Hall of Fame type guy. Right, I'm talking about a corner that's going to allow you to shade your coverage to Julio.
Gotcha.
To shade your coverage. He didn't have to be all world. He just allows you to do things
schematically
differently. I'm telling you, if you go up against Breeze, and hell, I'll even obviously all the greats on there. I'll throw Cam Newton in there. He's been to a Super Bowl.
And an MVP.
Yeah, you throw all these guys. If you go into a game with those guys and they know you're hamstrung, they know you're handcuffed from a play calling standpoint on defense, and they know that you're not going to show me certain coverages, or they know when you show me pressure, you're more than likely going to bail because you're scared of your corners.
Yeah.
You show that to a veteran quarterback and show that early in the season to a veteran quarterback, these guys will shred you. It's game over. It's done. So somebody on that defense, I counter your point by saying somebody on that defense that just allows them to be more multiple and not have to be so vanilla could be worth his weight in gold relative to playing these veteran quarterbacks.
And we haven't even mentioned Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, and Tyreek Hill.
That's right.
Yeah, no, keep digging. There's more on there. There's no doubt. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.